One of the absolutely wonderful things is I don't have a Trevor Dan telling me what to do, when to shut up and what track to play.
Hello, I am Trevor Dan, and you found the Radio Today programme, which this week explores the new world of Noel Edmonds. He's best known these days, of course, as a TV name, but he cut his broadcasting teeth very much on the radio, on Radio Luxembourg and on Radio 1. And now he's launched a collection of internet stations called Positivity Radio. There's one called Positively Pet, which got a lot of coverage recently in the tabloids. And in a week or two, he's launching Positively Noel and putting himself back in the DJ's chair. I think you'll find the next 15 minutes or so very interesting.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Noel Edmonds, how the jiggins are you?
I am so tickety-boo, it's untrue. Almost illegally tickety-boo.
Let's just talk about your current radio business, Positivity Radio. You're designed to make us all feel more positive.
Yeah, broadly speaking, that's the aim. The only caveat is I accept this is not necessarily a mass market offering. It's genre casting, it's internet radio, it's call it what you will. We're not about big audiences, great big mass audiences like the BBC audiences. We're about very genre specific communications. Some people simply call it audio streaming, but we still call it radio because if it's good enough for Apple, it's good enough for us.
So you do, when you say genre casting, you can do a positivity stream for cricket fans, for people who live in a particular place. I know you have one for Bath and one for Bristol. What sort of people are coming on board and joining you in that project?
OK, well, we're in phase one at the moment, where I am paying for everything and making no financial return. And I'm very happy about that because I actually believe that there's a percentage of the global population, and we have to remember this is the internet worldwide, who would like to have a more positive approach to life. So Positivity Radio World, news-free, commercial-free, and free to listen. We will never, ever charge the consumer to listen. We are developing a whole range of genre for cities and regions, for leisure interests, and a good music mix at the moment. We've focused upon decades, so we've got 50s about to be launched, but we've got 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the noughties we'll do very soon. It's about a different way of accessing radio. You know, broadcasting, as the name suggests, is spray and pray. The great thing about genre casting, about the accuracy of the internet, is that we can give consumers exactly what they want. And there is a sizable percentage of the UK population that's had enough of bad news. They find standard commercials on ILR low grade or simply not targeting them. And they're fed up of the general radio scene. I don't say everybody. I'm not trying to take on ILR. I'm not trying to take on the BBC. This is an additional communications medium.
Okay, so who's going to pay for these channels then? If you set up something called Positivity Radio Bristol, is somebody in Bristol? Is the City Council? Who's going to pay for that?
No, well, we have a different business model for some of the genre. Since I raised eyebrows by saying I was going to do Positively Pets, we've had an approach from a major pet company, pet food and pet accessories company. But in the case of the cities, I think we do have an interesting model. We're about to launch Positively Worcestershire with the full membership of 30 businesses already signed up, and each of the city or region stations has a maximum of 30 business members, and we offer them sector exclusivity. So the hairdressers in Evesham will never hear an ad for another hairdressers in Worcestershire, the car dealer, the bank, the estate agent. No, they have sector exclusivity.
But I thought, Noel, I thought you said that these stations, these streams are going to be commercial free.
We don't have commercials. What we do is we offer our members the opportunity of having their businesses advertised on the website, promoted on social media, and featured and promoted every single hour. And these are not commercials. These are not what you and I would understand by a 15-second, 20-second, 30-second break or whatever. We talk about the benefits of the business. We talk about their staff. We talk about their positive attitude to the local community, fundraising, etc. So these are informational spots.
So they're what's sometimes referred to as presenter reads.
Yeah, except we don't have a presenter as such, but they are presented by the business. I mean, it may be difficult for you because it was jolly difficult for me to take out, you know, the whole history we've learned about radio and look at this from a different angle. This is using radio as a tool for SMEs rather than them handing over their business to a commercial radio station to advertise.
So clearly, you, as you said, you're not trying to compete with commercial radio or with the BBC, but we've all only got one pair of ears. So if we're listening to you, we've chosen not to listen to them. Can I ask you, therefore, what you think of currently available radio? You've been pretty unkind in the past about what's happened to radio since you're not on it anymore. I mean, do you listen to any of it?
Well, the implication in your last comment is that there's some bitterness. And of course, elements of the media would love to paint me as anti-BBC and bitter because I'm not on the BBC. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I had a 30-year career with the BBC, which I've always expressed my gratitude to Auntie for that. Hugely grateful. But I'm also relieved and grateful that I'm not part of the BBC now. I worry about the future of the BBC. I think as long as it remains the huge broadcasting organisation it is, its days are probably numbered. It's got to be pared down and it's got to be made more relevant for the consumer. You know, there are a lot of very big players waiting to tackle the BBC and probably, what can I say really, give it the coup de grace. It's got to do something.
You were one of those people, weren't you, Noel? Didn't you suggest that maybe you could buy the BBC?
I could within 6 months I could complete a consortium that are very, very keen to purchase the BBC if the Royal Charter changed. But you know, will that happen? Probably not. Certainly not under the current government. But I do worry, with a genuine love for Auntie, I do worry about the future of the BBC. I don't think the local radio model is sustainable. And indeed, the BBC is admitting it, isn't it, Trevor? You know, most evenings they're bringing together a group of maybe 40 local radio stations and putting out the same output.
Yes, they are. Of course, the way you live, presumably you can listen to Simon Bates on BBC local radio.
I'm not a masochist.
Right, we'll move on from that. What do you listen to on the wireless, Noel?
I occasionally just monitor some of the local commercial stations around the Bristol area. I less and less listen to what one may call mainstream broadcasting. I watch TV, generally speaking, on catch up, and I access internet radio because I find it a lot more satisfying. And in that sense, I am just an ordinary, very up-to-date consumer. It's what everyone's doing. The internet radio demographic is very, very broad. You know, there is an assumption it's down with the kids, but it's not. More and more consumers, I keep calling them that because that's what they are. They are consuming their audio and video when they want, on their terms. And that's why the old broadcasting model is falling apart. We see it in falling ad revenues. We see it in diminishing listening and viewing figures. You know, the writing's on the wall.
Now, here's the thing, though. For you, I remember when we worked together, you were very close to your audience. You, I think it would be fair to say, were nurtured by that connection. And lots of broadcasters are, to the extent that most of them have to be wheeled out of the studio when they're way past their best. They just cannot give up being on the wireless. And yet you have, you know, it's so, what, do you miss it?
You're talking about Tony Blackburn, a man that I admire enormously.
That's slightly unkind, but I'm trying to get to the root of you as a person not being on the radio and the extent to which you miss it.
Well, on October the 24th, I launched Positively Null, which is my own radio station. So that particular element of my psyche will be satisfied. I don't miss it in the sense that, you know, there's an audience out there that I would love to be playing tracks to, or I don't listen to any element of radio in the UK and think, oh, I'd love to be on there. I'm fortunate that on a regular basis, I get approaches, but I want to do things slightly differently. And when you and I worked together, Trevor, you know, it was an era when we were doing things very differently, and we had our hands tied behind our back because we only got letters from people. We didn't have emails. We didn't have social media. We didn't have all the interactivity. And it was very limiting in that we couldn't really, apart from funny phone calls and occasional features we did, we couldn't involve the audience. We couldn't hear their voices. And I find this medium so incredibly exciting now. This is actually a really exciting time to be in radio. There's a new radio revolution, and I can't wait to have my own radio station running. It won't be like anything you've heard before. And I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but if you don't like it, well, life's too short. Go and listen to something else.
Will you have producers working for you on that show?
Hopefully not. One of the absolutely wonderful things is I don't have a Trevor Dan telling me what to do, when to shut up and what track to play. I'm going to play the most amazing mix of music, which is largely my own musical tastes. And no, there won't be Mr. Blobby, but there could be Captain Leakey. There will be a hint of nostalgia, but I want it to be very current. I want it to engage fully with the people that follow me on social media. I want it to be accessible in a way that, you know, a lot of radio today claims it's accessible. But is it? Can the real consumers hear their voice? Can they really mold it and change the playlist? No, they can't. You know, people that listen to Radio 2 or listen to Sam FM down in Bristol, they can't change the style of what they're listening to. But thanks to the internet, with Positivity Radio, you can, as a consumer, actually put your stamp on it.
I asked people on Twitter who follow me if they had any questions for you, Noel. One or two thought that because my avatar is a picture of my cat Hercules, that it was actually Hercules who was going to do the interview. So I'll pass on that. But
No, it would have been more interesting, but I've got you.
Okay. What would you say if Hercules rang you up and asked to be spoken to?
If Hercules phoned me and asked to be spoken to... Well, I would obviously want to have a very positive dialogue with Hercules. It would help if I knew a little bit about Hercules.
Well, he's very big and he's a Maine Coon and he lies a lot on his back and has his tummy rubbed.
Okay. Well, that's actually a bit condescending, Trevor, if I may say so. This is one of the problems with you so-called pet lovers. You don't engage with the energy of your animal. You just do things like tickle their tummy. There's much more to life than having your tummy tickled. As Hercules is trying to tell you. No, I tell you what is great about Twitter. You know, the default position of Twitter is either the most appalling vengeance and anger laced with profanities, or it's if somebody does anything that's a little lighthearted or maybe slightly unusual, they call you mad.
They do that. I would say, Noel, reading my Twitter timeline, that I think people think you've gone a bit bonkers.
Yes, well, of course they do, because this is the world we now live in. If people want to live their own life and do things a little bit differently, they must be insane, so the sheeple say. And there was a woman from the Daily Mail who kept on about this, saying, have you had a breakdown? This is talking to pets and all of this malarkey. And I said, look, I'd never taken myself too seriously. I think the problem with the world is people are taking life too seriously. In any way, I've got previous. I spent the 90s being chased around by a pink and yellow thing smelling of rubber. Yes, I'm just Noel. I'm sorry, I've always been like this.
I think you're sounding disappointingly sane.
Well, I hope not. Listen to Positively Noel, and I will certainly disabuse you of that view.
Okay. Next year, Noel, it's going to be the 50th anniversary of Radio 1, and I'm sure people, possibly including me, will be beating a path to your door asking you to reminisce about Radio 1. Will you take part in those kind of projects? And if so, what are your memories of working at Radio 1 in what are now considered, I think, to be the golden days?
I think it was a golden era for radio, but as I'm saying, in plugging my own business, I think radio is about to come into another very exciting, challenging new era. My memories of Radio 1 are nothing but happiness and gratitude. I can't believe that it was 50 years ago that I remember on that Saturday morning sitting there listening to Tony Blackburn launch Radio 1. And then, within 2 years I was on it. Incredible. I, of course, would like to express my gratitude if anybody wants to record anything I say, but I'm not good on nostalgia. I'm not good on looking back. I always like to move on and try and do something new and something fresh. And I've been very lucky that Channel 4 have just offered me a most fantastic contract to do a whole load of innovative TV things. So looking back is actually not my style.
No, thank you for talking to Radio Today. I appreciate your time, and I wish you well with Positivity Radio. And I hope you make some money in the end.
Well, that actually may totally confirm my insanity in some people's eyes, but it's not the primary aim.
So the primary aim is to be genuinely doing good? Is this a sort of radio altruism?
No. The message I'm putting out is there is a different way to live your life. And that's why we are news-free, commercial-free, and free to listen.
Noel Edmonds, thank you for talking to us. We'll see you soon.
I hope so, Trevor. Thank you.
Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Time for some Radio Today news. Here's Stuart Clarkson.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. Suffolk's own DAB multiplex has gone live this week, with the minister responsible for radio, Matt Hancock, flicking the switch. Four transmitters serve the county, providing six digital services: BBC Radio Suffolk, Heart, Smooth, Fun Kids, Chris Country, and new station Suffolk First. Staff at Global Radio have helped raise nearly £3 million for charity this week with the group's annual Make Some Noise appeal. On and off-air teams dressed up as loud as they could, including Big Boss's Ashley Tabor, Stephen Myron and Richard Park. Great picture, that. Celebs including Michael Bublé, Stephen Fry and Comeback Kids Bross among those joining the Radiothon appeals. Weekend overnight changes at LBC as Christo leaves the station after 6.5 years. He's off to work as a producer on Loose Women on ITV. The Telegraph journalist Matt Stadlin will take over 1 till 5 a.m. on Saturday and Sundays. The late Sir Terry Wogan's role as main host of the BBC Children in Need television fundraising show is being taken on by his Radio 2 colleague Graham Norton. Next month's live programme will also be the first in a decade without Fern Cotton, while Radio 1 breakfast presenter Nick Grimshaw is also dropped after 4 years. Among the new presenters replacing them are Radio 1's Greg James and Capital's Marvin Humes. And entries have opened this week for the 2017 Hospital Radio Awards. Stations have got until the 13th of November to get their submissions in across 11 different categories. The shortlists will come out in the new year and the winners revealed at the HBA conference in Bolton next March. And those are this week's big stories from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
From Luxie to Radio 3, 100 years of history. These are
David Lloyd's Radio Moments. Is it really 5 years since BBC Radio Manchester moved home?
Oasis, Wonderwall on BBC Radio Manchester. I'm Daryl Morris. It is 3 minutes to six on Saturday, the 8th of October 2011. And for the last 36 years and 27 days, from New Broadcasting House, Oxford Road, Manchester, this has been BBC Radio Manchester. Another turning point,
a fork stuck in the road. Good morning. This is BBC Radio Manchester. Now, live from Media City UK in Salford.
BBC Radio Manchester with the first programme from its new premises in Salford. In 1934, a powerful new long and medium wave transmitter was installed at Droitwich in Worcestershire. It's served us well for generations, now transmitting Radio 4 long wave.
The BBC must also consider the subsoil as a conductor of electricity. A soil that is a poor conductor would impede the wireless wave. Again, the position of the masts in relation to neighbouring hills, which might have a similar effect, must also be taken into consideration. To carry the aerials, two 700 feet masts were built up, girder upon girder, 200 feet higher than any other mast previously built by the BBC. Each of these tremendous structures were erected by four men known as top men, working on a tiny...
Brave guys. And this week, 5 years ago, the press covered with some enthusiasm the story that the transmitter at Droitwich was ageing and used a pair of valves which were no longer manufactured. It was reported the BBC had bought up all remaining such valves in the world. And 5 years on, we're still on the air, aren't we?
BBC Radio 4.
Yes, we are. It's 2 years this week since Hursty from the Capital Yorkshire Breakfast Show, formerly Galaxy, brought us some surprise news.
Radio is about the audience, the listeners forming a bond and a relationship with
Absolutely.
Right? And what you want to be if you're a half-decent presenter, and you are... is you want to be yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And there was many times on the air in recent years where I nearly said, you know, that I'm transgender. And I always wanted to say that because I knew from around the same time that I wanted to be on the radio that I knew that something wasn't right.
Hursty opening her heart at last to Stephen Nolan on 5 Live this week 2 years ago. Happy 30th birthday this week to one of the few commercial radio licences to replace an early franchisee.
The chairman of Ocean Sound is Philip Pollock.
Good morning. For the very first time, this is Ocean Sound. From this moment on, today and every day, Ocean Sound is your radio station. Through all the seasons of the year, every hour, every minute of the day, we'll be here as your constant companion. The directors and staff of Ocean Sound see this as a tremendous privilege and an awesome responsibility. Our success depends on your support. After all, Ocean Sound is your radio station. We want to broadcast the best in entertainment, music to brighten dark winter mornings and to relax you at the close of day.
I reckon he'd win the best chairman's voice contest, if ever there was one. Wonderful. Ocean Sound, which launched this week in 1986. It had taken the extended Portsmouth franchise from Radio Victory. It's now Heart. It's 19 years this week since a change of presenters on Radio 1 Breakfast. And guess who's doing the warm-up?
Anyway, it's a new song from Supergrass called A Life Less Ordinary. Do you know what? I feel like, because we've got like TV cameras and stuff and press and stuff, I feel like Dave Pearce on that Radio 1 film. Oh, a new breakfast show coming up. So,
Kevin Greening, Zoe Moore, 6:30 this morning. Put tape in, record it. Play it to your grandchildren in about 35 years' time.
Well, Chris Moyles, it's not quite 35 years' time, but we'll play the tape anyway.
I think you've got something here. You've got something here.
Like... No, there's a spot. Thank you.
I wasn't going to say so.
I could have covered it up, but, you know, this is radio, isn't it?
You're not on telly now, love.
That's going to stick.
That is going to stick. Meet my new showbiz wife, Zoe Ball.
Ball and Greening replacing Mark and Lard on Radio 1 Breakfast this week in 97. And that same day, 19 years ago, another new breakfast presenter across on the original Virgin Radio, Matthew Bannister, recalls.
What happened was that Chris Evans announced he was signing for Virgin Radio to do the breakfast show. And at that time, Virgin Radio was owned by a friend of mine called Robert Devereux. And he rang me up just to say, out of courtesy, just to let you know, Chris Evans is joining us. We're announcing it today. Well, thanks, Robert. So we'd announced Zoe and Kevin, and Chris then announced he was going to launch on Virgin on the same day, which, you know, in one way was brilliant for all of us because there was massive, lots of fun in the tabloids. It was the Blur Oasis, Evans versus Zoe Ball, especially as they found a picture of them snogging in the back of a taxi that they wanted to put in the paper. And obviously, there was incredible pressure on Zoe.
We can see what's going on outside. We can see that there are satellite trucks still waiting to interview us, saying, Chris, how did it go?
Vultures.
Have you got anything to say to Matthew Bannister? What do you think Zoe's chances are? We're not going to answer any of those questions because they'll all be answered to the people we want to talk to, which are our listeners, on the air.
Chris Evans making his breakfast debut on Virgin this week in 97. 1973 now, and this week saw the birth of commercial radio at last.
Britain's first commercial radio station went on the air just a few minutes ago, and you're listening to it. London Broadcasting Company, an all-news and information service for London, will operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The company will also be supplying a new service to 60 other commercial stations, which are to open in Britain, several of them within a few months.
The opening today of the London Broadcasting Company's station marks a new departure in British broadcasting. It's the first station of the Independent Broadcasting Authority's local radio service, and the first all-news radio station in this country.
The then Prime Minister Ted Heath welcoming LBC and welcoming commercial radio 43 years ago this week. So with Radio Victory launching in Portsmouth 41 years ago.
Now with me in the studio we have a very distinguished visitor, Brian Young, the Director General of the Independent Broadcasting Association.
Any questions launching on the BBC 68 years ago?
And I think this is the most original question we've ever had in any questions.
The only Micah Hearn programme ever on Radio 1 49 years ago.
A great new one from the bird.
The Queen's first appearance on radio 76 years ago.
Our father and mother have so often talked to us of their visits to different parts of the world.
And Wiltshire Radio launching 34 years ago.
It will be broadcasting 17 hours a day. Linda Cooch, WR News.
Those are this week's radio moments.
This week in history, radio moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. Thanks to Stuart Clarkson, to researcher Hayley Hayes, and of course, Noel Edmonds. I've been Trevor Dan. This has been a TDC production, and there'll be something very similar next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.